Yeah, let's do it. Three, two, one. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Anti-Shuffle Podcast. After a hiatus that lasted one episode long, we're back with an episode.
Feels like a long time, to be honest.
I know. I was just saying off the air that missing one episode. I already feel rusty. You know, I feel like it's I haven't done this in a while. It's kind of weird. I guess we got the groove of doing it every week. So now, like, even if you miss one episode, it's like going to the gym. If you miss a couple of days, you feel like you've lost all the gains you've made.
But this is going to be a good one. We're happy to be back.
Yeah, we're back better than ever. A lot of things are happening. Milbeast XP is on the horizon. Soundstorm is on the horizon. A lot of albums came out. There's a lot of different news and stuff. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about that. All right, here we go. Okay, so remember the Spotify episode that we did when we talked about how I mainly was talking about how Spotify is evil in my opinion. Or not evil, but it's just like not good, they don't do good practices. They don't do well by the artists. And yeah, they do some stuff to just make sure that they're maximizing profits, and they don't really care about the artists that much. And this is a case in point here. So apparently, all these loopholes and strategies that they've been using to make sure that they maximize their profits have been paying off. The main point here is that apparently one of the loopholes that Spotify have found is that if they use a bundling strategy, they have to pay less royalties to the artists. So if you, Spotify is now streaming. Actually, Saudi, I don't think we do. Do we get audiobooks in Saudi on Spotify?
I don't know. I'm not an audiobook person, so I haven't really.
But so you use Spotify. Discovered it.
I use Spotify for music and podcasts, but I'm not.
So too, you don't I'm, see there's don't no know. Like audiobook category or anything like that, right?
When I was using it,
I never saw like a category or even an option to listen to audiobooks. So that's
okay.
Not available, I think, in our region, but outside, apparently, in Europe and I think elsewhere. Apparently, they bundle. Like there are subscription bundles where like you can bundle audiobooks, podcasts, and music, right? And when you do that, apparently there's a loophole where somehow like Spotify does not have to pay as much royalties to artists if you're selling these bundles. And what's even worse is that they kind of changed their subscription model. When they did the subscription model, they bumped everyone up to the more expensive podcasts and audio and music subscription but they've included as well, they have now like a basic subscription where it just includes music only, but they bumped everyone up to the more expensive one and like downgrading to that, to the cheaper basic one that's only music is like a really annoying process that apparently nobody is going to bother doing. So that's one of the ways as well they just increased the profits. They made it more expensive, bumped everyone up to the more expensive subscription and made it really difficult to downgrade. So just all in all, like, just nasty practices here. In any case, I just wanted to highlight this. Just wanted to talk a little bit about this.
It's funny because you hear differing opinions on Spotify, Like some, I've seen some musicians talk about how they're getting, you know, peanuts for their work, basically. And what's it called? Yeah, they're getting peanuts for their work, yet somehow it's a platform where their music is available, and it's, you know, it's a people, it's very accessible. That's, I guess, the what's it called? The, you know, the trade-off, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the case with all streaming platforms, but yeah, I mean, it's insane. Now you're going to see more people complaining about, you know, these Spotify not paying enough royalties, because that was always the complaint against it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main complaint about them, and like their business practices and the way they're operating and doing things is not helping as well. But in any case, that's that. Let's move on now to very, very interesting news. So I feel like we definitely talked about how Middle Beast and Soundstorm should get a big name ticket like Linkin Park at Soundstorm, like at some point in the past. Or maybe I've talked to people, I've always said that, and you know, people always say like, yeah, you know, they should get someone like Korn, maybe System of a Down, maybe, you know, Blink-182, Green Day, any of these big ticket names, you know, for you know, at Soundstorm, just to get, you know, a more accessible kind of flavor of alternative or rock or whatever. And yeah, they finally did it. I mean, Linkin Park are coming to Soundstorm. They're going to be performing on the 12th of December, I think. I don't know. I'm not sure when they're performing, but they're performing at Soundstorm, which is taking place on the 12th of December and the 13th and the 14th, I think.
Yeah, this is huge. This is like, it's building off of last year's achievement with getting Metallica.
Yeah.
And yeah, Linkin Park, obviously, maybe just as big as Metallica. And if, I don't know, maybe they, if, maybe bigger even. But no, I mean, it's, I'm impressed. Like, I think they just reunited with the new singer, and they managed to get them here. So yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people are excited. I'm personally excited. I think it's. I'm not gonna say I'm the biggest Linkin Park fan, because you know, but however, they have been a huge and a part of my, you know, metal and rock upbringing, because you know, that Hybrid Theory album came out like during that time, where like the new metal era, like the, you know, was starting to get into metal and stuff like that. And that record is pretty good, and it's a record that I listen to a lot. Can't say that I've, you know, paid attention to them after that. I think I've gotten to the point where I moved on a little bit after that record came out. But still a kind of monumental and very influential and important band in the, you know, alternative metal and metal scene and new metal and rock scene. So really happy to see that they're coming here. And also, I'm a big fan of the singer. I like, you know, controversy aside on whatever her, you know, whatever she has, in, you know, going on there. But as a singer, she's extremely talented. I find her very talented, and I like her other band, Dead Sarah, as well. So yeah, looking forward to this. This is pretty cool. This is really cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite bands, Senegwizigabug. Senegwizigabug. Say it with me now, Mansoor. Senegwizigabug.
Oh god.
I've seen people say it in different ways, but I just say it's Senegwizigabug.
Oh man. That requires some training for me.
Exactly. Pronounced. Yeah, but okay. But apparently, somehow their account just got suspended out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Apparently, without any warning, without any kind of, you know, they didn't do anything weird, or they didn't do apparently anything that warrants this, and their account just got suspended out of nowhere.
Senegwizigabug is like a grindcore band, or what?
Death metal. They're a death metal band.
Okay.
They're a death metal band. And they have 120, they had, you know, with that account, 123,000 followings. I actually didn't follow up on this. I need to see like if the account is back live. But yeah, apparently just that account got suspended completely and completely disabled.
Okay.
I'm sure they're going to appeal that decision and try to get their account back. But I'm not sure what happened since then. This happened on the 15th of November, so it'll be interesting to see. But that's kind of scary, you know, seeing like some AI. I'm sure it's like some weird AI snafu computer, like automatically like decided, hey, this account like posts weird stuff. Their artwork is pretty aggressive. It's kind of like Undeath, that record that we liked so much. But they have like some really aggressive artwork as well. Maybe that's one of the reasons it got banned. But like I don't know. I don't think that warrants it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, I'm sure it's an algorithm thing. It detected something somewhere. Or somebody might have reported the account. You never know. I mean, it could have been like some angry user. Probably didn't get his vinyl bundle in time.
Maybe.
You know, after ordering it, decided, you know what? I'm going to get my revenge. I'm going to report these guys.
It could be the name. Do you think it's the name? You think the algorithm was like, what is this? What is this name
that people can count?
Did this account just curse at me? What did you just call me? All right, you're banned. Seneca was like, what? No, you're banned. But Seneca's a Bug is an incredible band. They're an incredible death metal band. They released a single I think late last year or early this year. Looking forward to their new album. They're really a really cool band.
Poor guys.
Poor guys. Oh man, this is interesting. Yeah, this has been making the rounds a little bit, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Sleep Token apparently. Well, they were built as one of the headlining acts on Download Festival, which is like arguably the biggest metal festival in the world. And I think they're playing on the second night as the main headliner. And apparently, some people were really annoyed by that. They felt like they didn't deserve to get that spot. And the other acts, I think one day is Green Day. The other I forgot.
Korn.
But it's like Korn, sorry. Korn, yeah. Two legendary acts, two legendary acts. And then you get Sleep Token. And so it went to the point where as you can see, the founder had to defend that decision because Sleep Token now is one of the biggest bands. But, I think it's a bit ridiculous, to be honest, that people were so against it. I mean, we talked about this previously where a lot of these festivals typically book like legacy acts as the main, as the headlining act. Maybe as a business decision mostly. And people complained about it. So you have like a fresh new act that's the main headliner. So why are people still complaining? You know what I mean?
I have no idea. You can never satisfy anyone. And honestly, I don't see what's the big deal. It's like, where do you draw the line? Is it like, how many records they've sold? People are citing the fact that, Green Day has been, in the game for over two decades or whatever, and they have two diamond records. Korn, obviously, goes without saying how legendary they are, but Sleep Token has a huge following, and they have, nobody can deny the huge impact and the force that they have right now as a modern metal band. How much they are part of the, I don't know, let's say the zeitgeist, they're pretty, they have overwhelming amount of support and fans, and they sell out stadiums, and it just makes sense that they're a headliner. I don't get it. Like, did you have to be like in the game for more than, I don't know, like, is there a certain amount of years and then, you have to sell a certain amount of records? It's kind of ridiculous. Like, if a band is popular, it's well known, if they have a track record of selling out and selling a huge amount of tickets, then, just shut up. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a business decision. If, Sleep Token, obviously, they're playing like huge venues now. And what, they have like, what, two albums or something? That's it.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they have like two albums, I think, and like maybe an EP. Like they have three albums. I think it's three, or it could be an EP and two albums, like one EP and three and two LPs, if I'm not mistaken.
That's an impressive achievement for them. I mean, most of the bands that take that spot tend to be like your Metallica's, your Iron Maiden's, your Korn's, you know, all those kind of big legacy acts. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of Sleep Token. I think they have some okay songs here and there, but I'm not disappointed by this. I think it's a breath. A breath of fresh air for a new band like that to be headlining Download.
Hey man,
especially Download.
Time. Yeah, this Download has been like, you know, writing that legacy kind of acts, right? Like every year it's been like Black Sabbath and I don't know what, you know, like
the same guy bands who have been headlining the festival, these festivals for
Lamb
since
of God.
Like 30 years.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, it's good. It's a different time, man. It's a different time. Like Sleep Token is one of those bands that got popular on the back of TikTok as well. Like one of their songs became kind of popular. It became popular
viral.
Through TikToks. Yeah, it went viral, but you know, through TikTok. Their songs are good. They're catchy. So yeah, it just makes sense. It makes sense.
And good, they have like a theatrical like stage presence, right?
That's what's interesting. So a lot of the people that I speak with that are into Sleep Token, they say they love the lore part. They love the part about how, you know, the music, like they're you know, their names is 1, 2, and 3, and I don't know what, and they're And there's a lore there, you know, they kind of, you know, they love this, you know, being or whatever it is. And I don't know. I really don't know the story. I'm like you. I like a couple of songs of theirs. I think they're really good songs. Very good metal pop, but I'm not that deep into them, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's it for news, buddy.
All right.
Let's get into some music.
Indeed.
What have you been listening to?
Okay, so this week...
What have you been listening to?
Last time I had pretty much nothing, but this week, yeah, it's been kind of good.
Kind of good.
It's, first song is from the band Pigs. It's called Detroit.
Pigs.
Endless Pigs, yeah. The song is called Detroit, and I really like this song. I think it's like a very awesome song. It's like it's a very sludgy kid, lots of like overdrive, maybe you can say, within the
fuzz
guitar
drive.
Tone. Fuzz.
Yeah, like it's a lot of fuzz.
A lot of fuzz.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice fuzz-driven song. It's like divided into two parts. The first and the second parts of the song are both awesome. I think maybe it's going to be part of a new album, but it's a pretty cool track. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're
listening to it. I really like this band. My favorite record of theirs is there's a white record that they have. I think it's called something Coward. And then there's another record called Visceral. That's another record that I really like of theirs. I enjoy those two records a lot. One of those really sludgy, fuzzy kind of bands. Really cool. Yeah, I really dig them.
Yeah, do check out the song. The other song that I really like this week is from King Buffalo. It's called Balrog.
Is this a new song?
They released it last week. I think as a way to promote maybe their upcoming tour. But yeah, okay. I mean, it's everything you would expect from King Buffalo, I mean, musically. And it's just a pretty cool, like, psychedelic rock song. You know what I mean? It's they're pretty big on the delay.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of thing. It's on the heavier side, though. of King Buffalo's music. So
I haven't listened to it yet. I was going to ask, like, which King Buffalo version are we getting here? Are we getting the, you know, Elders kind of psychedelic, ambient kind of sound, or are we getting the a little bit of a heavier kind of King Buffalo?
I'd say a heavier and a tad dark version of King Buffalo. I like this track a lot.
Yeah. I'll check it out. Yeah. I haven't heard it yet.
And the last work that I listened to or during this week was Dale Crover's Glossolalia album. Dale Crover is the drummer for the Melvins. Yeah, and he released his solo album.
Playing drums?
Yeah. I think maybe he plays like various instruments, but I'm sure he plays the drums as well. And he has some guests
of drummers
on
releasing
the
solo albums. Dave Lombardo, I think, released something last year.
Yeah, but Dave Lombardo's is like from a different planet.
Yeah. It's like he's a solo album of me playing drums.
Yeah. Just banging on percussions and drums. That album was like for drum nerds, but this one is like this album from Dale Crover is like a casual rock album. Let me put it that way. Like Melvins tend to go really like lose their minds and really experiment really hard on their albums, but this one is just more of a straightforward rock album. I felt like it was okay. It wasn't like mind-blowing or anything. It has a guest appearance from Soundgarden's guitarist, Kim Thayil, which I thought was interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I mean, other than that, it's an okay album. It's nothing special, to be honest.
Okay, that's cool. So I've been listening to a couple of things, actually, and you know, since we skipped an episode, there's a bunch of more stuff, but maybe we'll keep that for another episode. But so the things I've been catching up on is the new Full of Hell record. It's called Scraping the Divine. Interesting album. It's very ambient, industrial, noise album. Can't say it's my favorite record. Unfortunately, I pre-ordered this record, and when it came out, I listened to it. I'm like, okay. I learned my lesson. I'm never going to pre-order it. No, but like Full of Hell have been consistently good. I've been, you know, like I love all the records. Like their last record they released it came out this year. Yeah, Coagulated Bliss. That's an incredible record. It's going to be like one of my definitely top five, top 10 albums of the year. But, and I've been, you know, consistently a big fan of their work. But this is a bit too... They're a very experimental band, and this is, you know, it goes that extra mile of being experimental, kind of ambient stuff. That's not the reason why I go to Full of Hell for. I go to them for the kind of power violence, kind of grindcore metal, death metal kind of combination of stuff that they do very well, along with the industrial stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it has a couple of good tracks. Yeah, it has a couple of good tracks, but it's like this is not it. It's not for me, and you know, I ended up pre-ordering the record. It's on the way now. At least the album artwork is cool. Okay, the album artwork looks cool.
I'm telling you, man, you should always listen to the album before you pre-order it.
That's the thing, man. But the single that they released was promising. Like I liked it. I thought it was. It sounds really cool. It's actually really good. Yeah. I really like the single that they released, but the rest of the record is just like this ambient, really noise, you know, stuff that's like, I like noise metal, I like noise, but it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Poppy released a new record called Negative Spaces. It's interesting. Poppy's like, you know, writing the kind of... I mean, she's been doing it for a while now, doing the whole metal thing. Interesting record. You know, for me, you know, if you're someone who's really into Spirit Box and like modern metal, kind of modern metal sound, you might enjoy this. There are a couple of good songs in there, but you know, I don't know if I'll ever go back to it. There's even one, she has a really Grammy nominated song now, that she's featured on with Knocked Loose, right? Suffocate, which is Grammy nominated. And I swear to God, there's one song on this record that basically sounds like she, you know, she's like, yeah, you know, I want to do the Knocked Loose sound as well. Interesting record. There are some catchy, you know, songs in there that are pretty nice. I don't know, maybe I need to listen to it again, but I honestly don't know. Like, I'm not motivated to go and listen to it again, honestly.
Me neither, to be honest. It's too angsty in a teenage way.
I think it's her vocals. I think that you get that sense because of her vocals. She's very shouty, right? But speaking of angst, Koyo is a band that I really like. They're, you know, they describe the genre is described as melodic hardcore, which is like, if you, you know, us growing up, we used to call that emo, right?
Yeah.
But I can tell why it's called, you know, hardcore, because it does have like a bit more of a technical ferocity of hardcore and punk, right? Rather than emo, like emo, I don't know, like, I can't even think, like, you know, emo, you might think of bands like My Chemical Romance or something like that, which are pretty punk, right? Like, if you listen to their older records, it's pretty punk. But
yeah,
I don't know. Anyways, I really enjoyed the song. I really like Koyo's songs. You know, sometimes I want to take a break from listening to the aggressive, heavy stuff and just get some, like, melodic-sounding hardcore in there. And it's really good. It sounds really, really good. I really like it. It's part of an EP.
I mean, this sounded like, to me, it sounded more like pop punk. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Than
sure,
emo.
It could be pop punk, but I feel like, you know, pop punk. You know, obviously Blink-182 is like the first thing that comes to mind. But this definitely sounded more emo, you know, punk to me than that kind of sound. Enjoyable track. Lastly, here, Chelsea Wolfe released another band or another artist that released like a kind of a stripped down version of their songs. Like last week, I think, or the week before that, we talked about Alexis on Fire, who released like an EP that has like a bunch of stripped down versions of their songs. Chelsea Wolfe is doing this again, a couple of songs from her last record that she released, which is pretty great. It's a good record. She did like kind of a unbound stripped version of those. And she threw in a Spirit Box cover in there, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, I like this release.
Yeah. It's Chelsea Wolf. I really like Chelsea Wolf. Like when she releases a record or when I hear the records, like I really enjoy them. I just don't do a good job of following up and listening to them consistently. Yeah. You know, it's I should go back and listen to that last record she released. It actually came out in this year, I think. So I should listen to it because it might be an album of a year contender. Mm-hmm. I should give that a shot as well.
Awesome.
I think that's it of general stuff that we've been listening to. Do you want to talk about your highlight for this week, dude?
Sure. So my pick for this week as my highlight is the new album from Tides from Nebula. It's called Instant Rewards. So this is, you know, call it what you want. Some people call it prog rock, post-metal. It's in that kind of category.
It's apparently, Apple Music is calling it art rock.
Art rock. I hate that label, by the way.
What? I've never heard of this label. What is art rock?
It's just pretentious. It's a pretentious label. I mean, they give it to many bands like Radiohead and I don't know, like bands, Tool and all those kind of bands, but it's just a dumb label. But this album
is
fantastic.
Listening to the genre, but anyways, yeah.
This album is fantastic. It's so Tides from Nebula have been around for a while, maybe since 2007 or 2009 or something. And they're a three-piece band from Poland. And this is like a, I would say it's a post-metal album. It's an instrumental album. And it's fantastic. I thought it's really good from start to finish. It's, you know, very, a mix of like heaviness with melodic parts as well. If you like post metal, you'll love this album. Like great riffs, pretty catchy, and you know, a bit atmospheric sounds here and there. Some experimentation. If you just want to kick back and listen to like instrumental, you know, rock music that, you know, conveys its emotions through its like its instrumentation. Now I'm starting to sound a bit pretend. Yeah.
He's starting to sound artsy fartsy. It's bringing out the art rock in you. The art rock is bringing out the artsy, the pretentiousness in you.
It's a Tides from Nebula effect. There you go, guys. But it's cool. Like, I would say it's like if you enjoy like a perfect circle, but without the vocals.
Yeah, that's a good analogy there. Yeah,
maybe that's the closest thing I can describe it as. This is my album of the week.
Yeah, I think it's definitely like you're right, and it's very. I honestly, like, I put this record on and I just let it play in the background. It was really enjoyable. I think the opening track was pretty strong as well. I felt like it was pretty good, like, intro into the album. And, you know, it immediately set the mood for me. I knew exactly what I was getting into. I didn't look into how many members of this band, but honestly, like, they sound bigger than that, and which was very impressive. I thought that was interesting, and that they're only three members, you know. Like, in my head, like, I imagined, like, a bunch of more people. I don't know why. But definitely, if you're into one of those ambient prog rock kind of sound and instrumental music, you can't really go wrong with this. It's pretty good. And if you're into art rock as well, yeah, you might enjoy this. If you want to get artsy and tell people that I listen to art rock. You know what I did this week? I listened to an art rock record by Tides of Nebula. Oh man, let me tell you what I've been listening, or my highlight for this week actually. We talked about the single that there was released off of the split. I also have the split on the way, by the way. I ordered it. It's coming on the way. But
no regrets. Anyway,
no regrets. No, this one definitely. This one is no regrets. So last episode, I think they released a single off of this. And the reason why I'm using this website right now is because Apple Music, for some reason, decided that the split is like two different EPs or albums or singles. So like I can't really show them together at the same time. But basically, this is a split of two bands. And again, if you don't know what a split is, it's basically sometimes bands will collaborate together and they will release a couple of songs on a single record and they will call it a split. So this is a Dead Body Tribal Gaze split. The Dead Body side has more songs, but one of them is actually pretty short. It's just the first song is called Dead Body, and it's abbreviated. And it's literally just the band shouting D-A-E-A-D-B-O-A-D-Y, and then the end song ends. It's just an 11-second song. It's just really fast, ferocious. Dead Body is a very... It's interesting. They're categorized as a grindcore death metal, like a band that has like a combination of grindcore, death metal, and like hardcore influences, which is true. I would throw in there as well a lot of very you know, those that spastic kind of math metal sound as well. They have a lot of that in their music. Great side. I really enjoy it, but for me, honestly, the winner on the split, I mean, I have no regrets at all. Like, it's not a bad side at all. The Dead Body side, really good, but for me, it's the Tribal Gaze part. It's incredible. Like, those three songs, just amazing. I think my favorite one, you know, I mean, they're all pretty good. I don't know. Kind of favorites there, but again, that kind of modern death metal kind of sound that this band is known for. You know, think Gatekeeper, think any of the modern metal bands that have come out, Undeath, all of these bands. You know, like it's really good, incredible artwork as well. Really dig this artwork. It's kind of very industrial and aesthetic, like, I don't know, like you know, I don't know how to describe it, but yeah, this is my recommendation for this week, guys. It's a really good split.
Yeah, this is definitely a good dose of aggressive stuff. I liked it.
Yeah. Produced by Taylor Young as well, so it's it sounds great as well. So
nice.
Check it out, ladies and gents, when you have the time. It's not art rock, but it'll do.
Indeed.
All right, dude. I think that's it for us this week. Any final words before we wrap this mother up?
No, but next week I'm gonna talk about the new Opeth album. It just came out, but I didn't include it in this episode. So yeah. Be sure to check it out next week.
Yeah. I don't know what record I'm gonna talk about next week. But I'm gonna talk about something for sure. Thank you all for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And wait, is next week? Oh no, it's still. I thought maybe XP would have happened by then. No, it's not. It's not. It's still early for that. But anyways,
it's the week after.
Yeah. It's the week after. All right. Thank you all for tuning in. Love you all. See you later, and keep on anti-shuffling.